Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuva, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic Congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
Today I want to talk about four marks of a follower of Messiah. These aren't the only identifying marks, of course, but they're big ones. They're important ones. So I want to bring them to your attention and just encourage you by way of embracing these marks and making sure that you're cultivating these marks in your life as a follower of Messiah. Acts chapter 2, I want to read 36 through 47. It says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him," speaking of Yeshua the Messiah, "God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to their heart, and Peter said, and the rest of the apostles, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.' And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then, those who had received the word and were baptized, they received his word, were baptized, and that day were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them all with all, as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." Four key responsibilities for the follower of Messiah. Number one, apostolic teaching. Number two, fellowship. Number three, breaking bread. And number four, prayer. Those are the four key responsibilities of following the Messiah. Now, including these as part of your lifestyle, they'll bring untold blessing, purpose, and meaning into your life. That's why I want to present these to you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have, this holy day that you've given to us, this appointed time that we can come and gather together and hear from you, receive your word, the word of life, to embrace it and live it, that we might experience the transformational power of your ways. Come and speak to our hearts today, move us and help us, empower us to embrace this and live it for the glory of your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Here's the four things once again. They were continually, who's the they? The followers of Jesus. The followers of Yeshua the Messiah. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So the first thing I want to point out is this area of apostolic teaching. They were devoted to apostolic teaching. Now, what do I mean devoted? What does it mean to be devoted to something? Have you ever devoted yourself to something? Maybe a sport, a career, right? A girl or a boy, right? Remember those days? Right? Devoting yourself to something where you gave yourself over to it. You thought about it, you dreamt about it, You know, when you were eating, I mean, just it consumed your day, consumed who you were. That's what it means to devote yourself to something. It's really an act of worship. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. These are the followers of Messiah. There were a number of sects of Judaism in the first century. This is the sect of the Nazarene. This is what we call the Judaism of Messiah, Messiah's Judaism. What do his followers do? What do they embrace? Well, they placed on their shoulders the yoke of Messiah. They placed on their shoulders his teachings concerning Moses and how we, the redeemed, shall live our lives. This is the yoke of Messiah. This is Messianic Judaism. They devoted themselves to apostolic teaching. That apostolic teaching was all about the Messiah. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 16, it says something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, it says, the law and the prophets, the Torah, the writings of Moses and the prophets, those that came later, the law and the prophets were until John. Until John. And then something happened. A tremendous break in eras where we move from the era of the Torah into the era of the Messiah. The Torah prophesied the coming of Messiah and his kingdom. All of the Torah is consumed with the Messiah and his kingdom. Prophesying, giving us types and shadows, giving us the festivals to prep us for his arrival so that when he came, we'd be ready. And 2,000 years ago, he came. So the law and the prophets were until that point. And then they took a second place as Messiah walked the earth and revealed himself. He finally came. He is the fullness of the Torah. He's the one that comes to clarify and bring out the full meaning of the Torah to show us how to live the Torah. And guess where his teachings are? In the apostolic scriptures. They're written by the apostles. They're found in the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Apostolic writings. They're giving to us the teachings of Messiah. And he's the one who was what? Interpreting Moses. How shall we interpret Moses? How do we apply the Torah in a messianic community? We do that by looking through the lens of the apostles, not the lens of the rabbis, not rabbinic forms of Judaism, but messianic Judaism. That is our Judaism, the Judaism of Messiah. So we look through the lens of the apostolic scriptures. And that's how we understand Torah, and that's how we apply it to our lives, through the lens of the apostolic scriptures. That's important for us to understand. As followers of Messiah, we have to be devoted to the apostolic scriptures as the lens in which we understand Moses, not vice versa, or not through any rabbinic commentaries or applications. I'm not saying the rabbinic commentaries and applications don't have meaning and purpose. They do, especially for those that are under that yoke. But that is not our yoke. Our yoke is the yoke of Messiah. Our rabbi is Yeshua HaMashiach. I am not your rabbi. I know from time to time people call me rabbi. People mostly from the outside, they don't understand maybe my position or whatever. But most of the time, I correct them on the spot. Other times, I'll do that later if it might be embarrassing. But I usually make it very clear. No, I'm not a rabbi. I am a pastor. It's fundamentally different. I pick dingleberries out of the south end of a northbound sheep. That's my job. Take care of sheep. I'm a shepherd, right? That's what I am. But we do have a rabbi. We do have a rabbi in our synagogue, in our congregation. It's Yeshua the Messiah. He's our rabbi. That's our rabbi. That's my rabbi. That's your rabbi. And he's the best because he's the Mashiach. He's fundamentally different from every other rabbi. So we have a lot to boast about if we wanted to boast. Isn't that true? So the Gospels were written by the apostles. The epistles and the letters were written by the apostles. The book of Revelation is written by an apostle. That's our text. That's our Talmud, if you will. That's the lens in which we understand the Torah and the prophets. That's what we're devoted to. I encourage you to be devoted to that as well. Sometimes we get off track. Sometimes we get seduced into other forms of Judaism, and we start following lines of reasoning and applications that are just not ours. Again, I'm not saying that they're not without purpose and meaning, but they're just not ours. So understand who you are and put that yoke of Messiah on you. It's light. It's not heavy. It's doable. Our rabbi is a gentle teacher, lots of patience, lots of free passes as we grow into his ways. Okay, so how do we do that? How do I devote myself to the apostolic scriptures? Well, we do that daily. We do that every day. We have to discipline ourselves like soldiers of Messiah. We have to discipline ourselves, make sure we're doing our spiritual exercises every day. One of those is being in the Word daily. I want to encourage you to be in the Word daily, to spend at least 30 minutes in the Word daily. Do that in the morning and split it up and do another part in the afternoon. I like to split it up. I follow the pattern of what we have in Leviticus where we offer up the lamb twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, a type and shadow of Messiah. Everyone understood in the ancient world in Judaism that those were atoning devices. Those were atonement sacrifices. And so they understood that if they offered up their prayer at the hour in which those sheep were slaughtered and sacrificed, their chance of having their prayers heard were much greater because of the covering of the blood of the Lamb. So I like to pray in the morning and the afternoon. So that's my daily goal. So I want to encourage you to do that. And then we have a lot of other resources for you if you want to understand from the apostolic scriptures, Torah, and how to live it. We have devotions and videos posted three times a week on Facebook. On our Facebook page, three times a week, we post those. We also have a YouTube place where we post two videos a week. And then also the Torah Talk, which is posted once a week. So there's a lot of resources to understand from our perspective what it means to embrace and walk in the Torah. So encourage you to be in those as well. Commit to being in the Word daily and then do it. Make a commitment and follow through and do it. Find someone that can be your accountability partner that will call you and ask you at least once a week, how are you doing? You praying every day? What's God saying to you? What's some of the verses that are standing out for you? And dialogue with them, but make it a point. This will make or break you in your walk with God. These four things are big things for us. And then also, take a class on Shabbat. We offer classes every quarter. Take a class, enrich yourself, grow, be stretched. I know life is busy, but just do it. You will not regret it. Okay, number two, fellowship. We all need fellowship. We all need relationship with one another in the body of Messiah. We have to build relationships. You can't wait for people to come and be your friend. The scriptures are clear. If you want to have friends, you got to first show yourself friendly. You got to show yourself friendly. You go out and be nice and shake some hands and invite some over for lunch or whatever, you know? You be friendly. And if you're friendly enough, you'll find some friends who will be friendly back. That's how that works. But I want to encourage you to build relationships with people in this community and also outside the community. People who love God, who will encourage you in your walk. We got the coffee bar. Yeah, that's a good place to meet and greet people and build some relationship as well. And then also service and ministry. Man, just serving in this community. We have teams. We have teams of people that are doing the work of ministry. Every time you join to serve in this community, you're hooked up with other people that are serving. That's a good place to build a relationship and to experience fellowship. The next one, number three, breaking bread, my favorite. That's code for eating, right? I love that, breaking bread. We're encouraged to break bread with one another. Now, I know life is fast-paced and busy, and it's hard to do that, but we have to make a way. The easiest way that I found to do that is a Rev Shabbat, Friday night, or Havdalah at the close of Saturday evening, you know, after service. Those two times are fairly easy for me. If you're keeping the Shabbat, they become very convenient times. Those are the times that you can invite people over to your house. Invite them on a Friday night or invite them on a Saturday night. Those are good nights. Be strategic. Think, pray, God, who should I invite over? Who do you want me to invite over? And begin to invite people over on Friday nights and Saturday nights. And as you do that, typically what will happen is you'll get some invites back. That's just how that works. But get in the lives of others and also be a host. Invite people to eat at your home. You're saying, well, I work, I'm busy, I'm tired. Good. Go out to eat on Friday night. Take someone out, say, meet them at a restaurant, buy them dinner, or whatever. I got little battery candles. You can take battery candles to the restaurant. I remember one time we were at a restaurant. We turned on our little candles, and the waiter ran over. He's across the room, and he runs over, you know, and they're twinkling, you know. And then you realize there were batteries. You know, oh, he says, thank you, thank you. You can't light candles in here. Thinking ahead of you. So, but you can do that. You know, the sun doesn't go down until about 8 o'clock, so that gives you plenty of time if you got a dinner appointment at 5 to get out and enjoy that time. And then it switches in the winter. You can do that on Saturday nights when the sun goes down around 5. Go out to dinner around 6. Enjoy the evening at a restaurant. What we do here is we provide handouts. This is our Rev Shabbat handout. It's a little booklet. It's on the foyer in the back. And it has a really cool way to open up the Shabbat on Friday evening. It is so user-friendly. And the Hebrew, and it's very minimum, is optional. It's transliterated, and it's optional. So you don't even have to do the Hebrew if you're nervous about Hebrew. But they have some prayers and some dialogue that will engage whoever it is that's with you in meaningful, purposeful fellowship around the dinner time. So I encourage you to get these. Please, just take one per family. And then get another one next week, and then you can even get another one the week after if you want to have extra copies. But don't take a bunch because other people then won't be able to take one today. So we only have so many out there to take. So one per family, if you're interested in doing that, we encourage you to do that. You'll love that. Saturday evenings, we have the Havdalah where we close the day. Part of remembering the Sabbath is you got to do something that sets that time apart. And the best time is at the beginning and at the end. These are bookends to the Sabbath, where you can start it or finish it over dinner in fellowship with one another and make that particular meal deeply spiritual. We've done this for many, many years. I don't do it every week, of course, but I've done it for years. And the times that I do where we have people over, it is a remarkable, meaningful time together. And it's really fun to invite friends over that are just starting to discover the Jewish roots of their faith and they don't really know too much. Light some candles, say some prayers, engage them in dialogue. They'll love it. The Spirit of God will meet you in that setting and change lives. It's a great outreach tool as well, where you can bring people that don't even know the Lord and have this low-key time that helps them interface with God in a way that's just relaxed over dinner. And who knows what God might do with that. So I would encourage you to get one of these each, if you would, and have some people over. Enjoy the time. Have dinner on purpose. And then finally, prayer. I want to encourage you to pray at least 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes a day. Now, I've got handouts in the back because really when you add your 30 minutes of prayer with 30 minutes of being in the Word, how much time is that? 1 hour. 1 hour of your day, 1 hour. Jesus said, can you not pray at least 1 hour? And he was talking to his disciples. in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross event. So I'm going to encourage you. I know it's hard. You may not always meet the mark, but set a goal. If you have a goal and some accountability partners, it'll help you get there. It's like anything else, right? So this is a daily devotional deal where I've broken it up for everyone. And what I do is I do my devotional time over the Psalms. It's really easy. Three Psalms in the morning and two Psalms and a proverb in the afternoon. That's a total of 30 minutes. I do 15 in the morning and 15 in the afternoon. And then my other 15, I just do some study in the Word, okay? So I do that. Now, the devotional key is easy. It's the date times 5, and that gives you your reading cycle so that in every month you go through the Psalms in 1 month, and you go through the Proverbs in 1 month. The Proverbs is the Torah in poetry. It's really awesome. So if today was the 10th of the month, 10 times 5 is 50. So you read Psalm 46 through 50. And which proverb do you read? 10. It's the 10th day of the month. So that keeps you on a cycle every month of going through the Psalms and the Proverbs. You'll love it. God will speak to you through His Word. And there's a place you can journal and some questions that you can ask. And you can write down also the big ticket items in your life, big decisions you're making, stressful things you're going through. And you can say, God, speak to me. Speak to me. I need some answers. And then as you go into the Psalms and begin to read, God will speak to you through His Word. That's the number one conduit that He speaks to us, to expose lies so that you can know the truth and live in freedom. So I want to encourage you to do this. I've got 7 years of journaling. Now, that's my goal every day. I don't hit it every day. I hit it about 80% of the time, and I love it. And when I miss it, I can tell I missed it in that day. But God speaks to me on a regular basis through His Word. It's just amazing. I love it. You make that Word personable. You know, when the psalmist is crying out, you know, King David, Psalm 51, he's pouring out his heart to God, you know, and throwing himself on the on God's mercy. And he's saying, God, do not take away from me your spirit. You know, be kind to me, be gentle, be forgiving. I mean, who doesn't resonate with that? Who can't connect with that? Think of your own failings, right? So you take that psalm, you let it speak to you, and then you pray it back to God, and you say, like David said, God, forgive me too. Remember, I am a mortal. I struggle, but you were kind and compassionate. Forgive me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Right? And this will just transform your day. I think you'll just love it. And then there's a place for application as well and some follow-up. When God answers my prayers, I go back to my journal, I date that and put that in so that when I'm discouraged or my feathers are ruffled or I'm facing some big crisis, I can go back and read what God has already done for me, not King David, for me. And that encourages me to confront whatever my giant is and take him down. So those are out there on the foyer as well. Encourage you to get those. Okay. So let me go on. Acts chapter 2, 46 through 47. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. This is what it means to be a follower of Messiah, to be devoted to the Word of God, to do that daily. We cannot be slackers, people. Life is too short to be careless, to live as if there is no God. We need to understand who we are. We're the followers of Messiah. The world is counting on us. If you're going to have answers for your friends and their problems, that requires us to be in the Word daily. Because if we're not, we're going to be confused too. We're not going to do a really good job at leading others. We have to step it up be in the Word every day, pray every day, devote ourselves as a follower of Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. The devotion that you will find in most synagogues for the rabbi is really intense. Very intense. They love their rabbi. They're devoted to their rabbi. They follow their rabbi. They study their rabbi's teachings. It's amazing to see that honor and that respect that's given. Shall we give anything less to our rabbi, Yeshua the Messiah? No, we're called to be devoted. Time spent with him daily, fellowshipping with one another, eating and drinking and praising and dancing, crying and laughing, fighting and striving. I mean, we're a community. We're a family. And that's what it means to be devoted to Messiah, to be a follower of Messiah. So I challenge you to step it up. I challenge you to make it a daily pilgrimage. We should not be struggling in bondages. We're the people of God. We should be overcoming, but we'll never overcome without paying the price of personal sacrifice and discipline on a daily basis. Just like the gym. You don't get buffed showing up once a month. Isn't that true? We're not going to get buffed spiritually praying once or twice a month, reading once or twice a month. No, we've got to be like a good soldier daily in our disciplines, daily working out, daily praying, daily crying out, daily in the Word, and that's going to make a difference. You won't see it initially, but over the long haul, it'll bring about radical transformation in your life. It'll bring radical blessing into your life and success into your life and persecution into your life as well. When we become a threat to the kingdom of hell, persecution will come. If you're not being persecuted, well, it's because you're not yet a threat. It's okay. You will be. I encourage you with that. Then you can be persecuted too. No one wants that. I don't want it either, but it will come. Okay, so it goes on to say the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And that is such a blessing. You know, God has added to our community over this last year. We've seen people come and make recommitments to the Lord. We've seen people come to faith. We've had a number of baptisms. And God has given us increase. Our job is to make sure we're taking care of those newbies. Our job is to make sure we're encouraging those ones that are making a second run, a recommitment, or coming to faith for the first time, to love on them, to pray for them daily, to watch over them, to give them what they need to grow strong so that they can be a vibrant, living witness for Yeshua the Messiah, just like we are. That's our job. I want to encourage you with that. So in closing, what I want to do is I want to just come back again to this idea of Rev Shabbat and Havdalah. I know that as a community, we've done that pretty well in the past. I'm not sure where we're at right now. We haven't done any surveys for quite a while. But how many people here typically think through and invite someone on a Friday night or Saturday night, maybe once a month, for that purpose of just having people over because it's Shabbat? Raise your hand nice and high. Okay, that's good. That's good. So I want to encourage more of us as a community to utilize the Shabbat. The Shabbat is the day of the Lord. It's his day. It's where we set aside our stuff so we can do his stuff. What's his stuff? We're coming here. The Holy Convocation is part of keeping Shabbat. We come here. We don't miss for anything except the donkey that's in the ditch. And the elders are here to help you understand whether that was a donkey in the ditch or not. Because I know, left up to ourselves, we always call it a donkey in the ditch when we can't make it. And most of the time, it's not a donkey in the ditch. That's why we're here to help. Yeah, and there's exceptions, of course, to keeping Shabbat when it comes to law enforcement or for those that work in the medical field. There's exceptions for them. But the point that I'm trying to make is this, that other than those types of exceptions, you get here. This is your community. This is your family. It's only once a week. You're needed. Your gifting's needed. Your smile is needed. Get here. Come hell or high water, get here. Make this day different. Start on Friday night. If you can, you start on Friday night and you set that day apart all the way through Saturday night. Make it 24 hours. Family, fun, relationship, devotion, singing, dancing. It's a day to be celebrated in the context of our faith community as a ministry to the Lord. So, pray about that. Think through that. If you can make a commitment to having someone over once a month on a Friday night or Saturday night, make that commitment and do it. Make a difference. Some of you can maybe do that twice a month or three times a month. Whatever you're able to do, I encourage you to step in the fray and begin to do it. Experience community. It's got to be more than just coming here once a week. It's about relationship with each other outside of these four walls. So I'm going to play a video real quick that will encourage you. This is a new video by Joshua Aaron. And it just kind of gives you a taste of that a Rev Shabbat meal that I think is so exciting. And then if you have a question about that, I'm going to answer some questions related to a Rev or Havdalah and how to do that or why we should be doing that.
Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panav alecha ve'yihunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. Ve'asemlecha shalom. Shabbat shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehillah Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat Shalom and Shavua Tov. Shabbat.